So we're in week two of our series called, or week three actually of our series called, What Kind of Church Is This? Anybody ever wonder what kind of church this is? Nope. Good for you. Let's pray. All right. So, all right. Listen. Oh, hold on. I'm going to set my alarm. Okay. I did really well last week. So you guys just talk. You guys just talk among yourselves. All right. All right. What kind of church is this? Listen, if you're new, if you're visiting in DeLand, if you're visiting in Palm Bay, if you're joining us online for the first time, let's just answer the question, right? So we don't have to worry about it. Full disclosure to all of our visitors, maybe you've been coming here a while and this will be a shock to you. If it is, I'm sorry. What kind of church is this? Listen, this is a church that believes in mobilizing its partners to do what God has created them to do. We are a church that believes that our very existence should have one purpose and one purpose only. And that is to make it extremely hard for people to reject Jesus. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Listen, that's the only reason we're here. This. We don't want you here to invest your time in figuring out what kind of worship we should do. Whether we should have smoke or no smoke. Whether we should have chairs or pews. Whether the color of the carpet should be red or green, right? Listen, no offense to any of you across all of our campuses. That's not why we believe you're here. We believe you're here because the Bible says that from the beginning of time, God had a plan and a purpose for your life in Jesus Christ. And it's our job as a church, as leaders of this church, to help mobilize you to do the work that God has asked you to do and created you to do. Can I get an amen, church? Listen, that's it. I mean, if your existence in Jesus is a mere hour and a half of coming to church, you've got to be bored at some level. And we want more for you. And not only do we want more for you, we know that God created you for more. And so we want you to be a part of that. What kind of church is Tomoka? We are a church that believes in mobilizing his partners to do the things that God created them to do. And when you're doing those things that God created you to do, guess what? We have a much better chance of making it hard for people to go to hell from this generation. And so we want to do that across all of our campuses. So listen, don't be surprised by what you find out at Tomoka, because that's what we do. That's why we invest in 30 plus mission teams every year. It's why we want 50 plus ministries. It's why we serve children and students. It's why we want to empower you to serve in the food pantry, and why we want you to be a part of the thrift store. Because here's the deal. When you're mobilized in ministry, doing the things that God's created you to do, we're doing exactly what God expects the local church to do in every one of their communities. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but we're losing the fight. We're losing the fight. And here's the reality. Tens of thousands of people will stand before their Creator today and have to answer for their relationship to Jesus Christ. And we live in a day and age now where people, 17-year-old students at Lake Mary High School, are walking into auditoriums with a gun and ending their life and forcing themselves to stand before the Lord and answer for their relationship to Jesus. 23-year-old Olympic cyclists are doing the same. And 42-year-old daughters of heavyweight boxing champions are doing the same. And we live in a world today that no matter where you come from and what age you are, people are giving up, getting out at a rate higher than they've ever been. Suicide continues to climb as a cause of death in our world. And here's the thing. We want those people to be prepared to answer in the affirmative that they know Jesus. Can I get an amen, church?
Amen.
And so here's the thing. What kind of church is Tomoka? We're the kind of church that believes in you. We believe that God made you for a purpose, and our job is to equip you to do that purpose. And we're going to talk about that today, because in our text in 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul talks about just that idea of being a mobilized church. So if you don't mind standing in all of our campuses, out of respect for God's word, we're going to just read a few verses together, and then we're going to spend some time talking about them before we get out of here. Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians 2. You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results, or not in vain. We had previously suffered and had been treated outrageously in Philippi. You can read about that in Acts 16. As you know, but with the help of our God, we dare to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. For the appeal that we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, Paul says, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We're not trying to please people, but God. He's the one who tests our hearts. You know, we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from people, not from you or from anyone else, even though as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority. Instead, we were like young children among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted. Here's the money verse. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Won't you guys grab a seat and let's talk through these verses just for a few minutes. We're asking this question as we walk through this letter that Paul wrote to a church that he gives nothing but commendation to. Because apparently the gospel was received extremely well in Philippi or in Thessalonica, and people responded to it. And this church, the reports of this church were going out, and here's what Paul was finding out. This church was killing it. People's lives are being changed because of the power of the gospel. So Paul writes this letter, and from it, we can ask this question, what kind of church is this? And so today, we're asking this of Tomoka in all of our locations, what kind of church is this? We are a church that believes that God commissioned us to take the gospel all over the world. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 28. He said, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So this is then a suggestion, right? This comes from a place of spiritual authority. And he says to the disciples and to us today, as you're going, not therefore go. Going's not an option. It's a participle in the Greek. He says, as you're going, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Listen, here's what we believe, Tomoka. In all of our spaces, we believe that it is our responsibility as a local church to make disciples of all nations. We believe that it's our responsibility to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We believe it's our responsibility to teach them to live their lives the way Jesus expects them to. Can I get an amen, church?
Amen.
And here's the thing. You're a part of it. Listen to what Ephesians 4 says. It says, Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Why? To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. That Greek word for service means ministry, right? To serve. So here's the deal. If you're a follower of Jesus in Ormond, in Palm Bay, DeLand, online, if you're a follower of Jesus, can I just hear you say amen?
Amen.
Listen, if that's the case, then you're God's people, and here's God's plan for you, to be equipped to do the work of ministry. To be equipped to do the work of ministry. Paul said it this way in chapter 2 of Ephesians, we've been saved by grace. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Not of works. We don't work to earn our salvation, right? Because that would lead us to boasting. So he said, you're saved by grace through faith, right? That's not of yourself, so that no man can boast. It's a gift of God. But we then are created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God prepared a long time that we should walk in them. So listen, what kind of church is this? This is the kind of church that believes that God made you for a purpose. And that purpose is connected to his mission, which is to make disciples of all nations. It's our responsibility to equip you to do that work. And so that's what kind of church that we are. It's what kind of church we're going to be in Palm Bay. It's the kind of church we're going to be in DeLand. It's the kind of church we want you to be if you're in our online community. Because we know that God's purpose is greater for you than you believe it is. And Paul gives us in this chapter 2 of this letter, he gives us the plan. Here's how he says ministry works. He said, we were so in love with you. He said that we were not only willing to share with you the gospel, right? But we were willing to give ourselves as well. Listen, the most effective way to do ministry in any of our spaces is this. We give them the gospel because Paul says it's the gospel that we should never be ashamed of, because it's the thing that gives us the power to be saved. Can I hear an amen? Amen. The gospel is the good news of Jesus. That He's died for you, paid your debt, set you free from owing God anything, and now we are established in an eternal relationship with our Heavenly Father. Right? Here's what He says then. We give them the gospel because it's the power to change people's lives. We talked about this last week. You can't change anybody's mind, but guess what? The power of God through the preaching of the gospel can. And so we give people the gospel, and then we give them ourselves. Because when you combine the gospel with the sharing of yourself in a way that is love, it makes all the difference in the world. Right? We don't want salvation to be an academic pursuit. We want it to be a part of who God made you to be. And so because ministry isn't about just sharing a message, it's about also being an effective messenger that requires a giving of yourself away. I think there's a couple warnings that you and I need to heed as we develop this concept across all of our campuses. Because listen, I'm just going to be completely honest with you. We've hired a couple new pastors for our church. And so we're measuring your involvement across all of our campuses for your partnership in what God intends a church to be a part of. And if you're sitting on the sidelines, hesitant, unsure, afraid, unwilling, listen, we've tasked these two pastors with going and finding you. So just fair warning, you're going to get a phone call, an email, a visit, not because we're keeping score, but because we're losing the fight and we need all of you. I'm tired of losing. I'm tired of seeing people not honestly prepared to meet a living God and answer for the relationship with Jesus. I want us to win. And here's the thing. The more of you that are involved, the greater chance we have of winning. And here's what I know. Our expectation is, if you're a follower of Jesus in any of our spaces, our expectation is that you're going to be involved at some level. So we're expecting 100% participation. And we're coming to help you figure out how to be involved in any of our spaces and doing the thing that God made you to do. It's why we push Connect Class. Because in Connect Class, for some of you, it'll be the first time that God's ever shown you who you are and how you can be used in ministry. Because Pastor Kerry does a phenomenal job helping you figure out how God has uniquely gifted and wired you to serve in ministry. It's the first and second Sunday of every month. It takes about an hour and 15 minutes, and it has free Donnie Donuts. It's worth the investment, okay? We want you to be a part of that. And if you're in DeLand and Palm Bay, we're sorry you don't have Donnie's Donuts. They're amazing, right? So we want you to be a part of that, right? So just fair game that this idea of sharing the gospel and sharing your lives as well is the pattern for ministry that we want all of you to be a part of. And not because we think it's some pie in the sky concept. It's because we believe that the Bible addresses it and tells us, this is how I made it. I made it to where everybody has a purpose and a part of what we're doing. And we want you to experience that, but we also want you to be warned about what struggles will come when you partner. And some of you that are serving in ministry and have for a while, you're going to know these warnings. And so we're going to talk about them really quickly here. Let's talk about three warnings that we can sort of prepare ourselves for as we learn to partner, as we serve in ministry. And for those of you who've been serving a while, these warnings may have helped you avoid some pitfalls earlier, but hopefully they'll help you moving down the line. Here's the first thing that we have to guard against if we're going to give ourselves away and give the gospel away in ministry. We have to guard about being disconnected. Everybody say, on all of our campuses, say disconnected.
Disconnected.
Come on, let's hear you.
Disconnected.
I feel like I'm talking to a painting here, okay? What is it Pastor Ben says? You always need to... I need some feedback. Oh, how about if I just tell you a really terrible joke? You ready for that? Right? So I believe that at some point in time, God wanted me to preach. And so I went to Bible college. And when we went to Bible college, there was a lot of really small churches that needed somebody to come and travel there on a Sunday morning and preach. And so people like Joe and I, that's what we did. We'd get up at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, and we'd travel 2, 3, 4 hours to go preach at a small church somewhere. And so I'd been preaching at one church for a little while. And so at the end of the service, a gentleman got up and said there would be a meeting for the board after the service. Okay. And so they did their final song, and people began to leave, and so some folks began to gather in the front of the church for the meeting that was announced for the board. And so we're standing there, and then there was a gentleman there that didn't seem to belong to the board. And so they looked at him, and one of the gentlemen said, "Excuse me," he said, "I don't know if you heard, but," he said, "this was announced as a meeting for the board of the church." And the guy looked at him and said, "I know." And he said, "Well, excuse me," he said, "but I don't think that you're a part of the board." And he said, "Well," he said, "I don't know about you," but he said, "after that sermon today," he said, "I'm as bored as anybody else in this church," right? Yeah. So at that point in time, I wasn't sure if I was doing the right thing or not, right? But listen, it's really simple. God made you to be a part of His mission. And the way you do it is you give the gospel, because it's the thing that changes people. And you give yourself, right? Because people don't, listen, what's the saying? No one cares how much you know until they know how much you care, right? But when you do ministry, there's some guards. You got to guard against being disconnected. Listen, if we're going to do effective ministry for people in the world, we're going to have to get messy. Right? You understand that? Right? The people that are in need of Jesus are messy people. And for some of you, that's not a complication to figure out, because you were once a messy person and God found you. Right? But we can become so insulated in a church like Tomoka across all of our campuses that you can forget about wanting to be involved in ministry, because you can become so content in spaces like ours that the idea of actually getting into a ditch to bandage up a wound and to do actual ministry for people is a very difficult thing. Listen, if you're going to be a part of what God's going to ask you to do, and we're going to make our very best effort to help you figure that out, you have to guard about being disconnected. Listen, we want you to be here. We want you to come on a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Saturday or a Sunday. We want you to gather into one of our spaces on all of our campuses. We want you to come, and we want you to rally and to worship and to be encouraged. But we also want you to live your life of faith in the spaces that God has put you. We want you to be a walking, talking, breathing example of Jesus where you go. And how do you do that? You have to be connected to the people around you. You have to be connected to your community. You look like Jesus at work. You look like Jesus at the soccer field. You look like Jesus in the grocery store. You talk like Jesus in those spaces and those places you go, no matter which campus you're a part of. Because being connected allows you to be in a place where you can give away the gospel and you can give away yourself. Does that make sense, church? Amen. You got to be connected to people. Right? We want you to serve on this campus, because we believe there are people that come to all of our campuses for the very first time that don't know Jesus, and your presence and serving makes it possible for them to feel comfortable and to be connected to what God's doing in their life. But we don't want you to be disconnected from people. Listen to what people said about Jesus in Luke 15:1. The tax collectors and the sinners were gathering around to hear Jesus, but the religious people, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, here's what they said: "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Right? It's exactly why Jesus came. It's why you and I know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Because He was willing to never live a life disconnected from the people God had put in front of Him. Listen, if you're going to give away the gospel, and if you're going to give away yourself to do effective ministry, you and I have to guard about leading insulated lives that are never connected to people who need Jesus. And that process is messy, it's complicated, it's exhausting, and it's easy to say, "I would rather not," but nobody walking by on the other side of a ditch of a person who's broken and in need ever finds Jesus. Amen, church? Amen. Listen, we want you to guard about being disconnected. We also want you to guard about being disconnected from each other. Listen, the Bible says that when you become a follower of Jesus, you become a part of a bigger community than yourself. You become a part of a family, a part of a body, where each part is connected to the other part. Listen, we want you to be a part of a community group. Right? We want you to be a part of a small group of people who know Jesus that you can be connected to, that will encourage you, that will hear you, that will affirm you, that will cry with you, that will laugh with you. Listen, if your life of faith involves coming to church and sitting in a row, at some point in time, this becomes a very unfulfilling thing in your life. But if you're connected to a community of people who love Jesus and share the same passion and the same mission, and if you're connected to the community that you're involved in and doing ministry, I guarantee you what God will do for you will be something that God has, that you've never experienced before. Because when you start doing the thing that you were actually made to do, it's just a low sounding hum of perfection. I mean, look at all the people that you know that are struggling to figure out who they are. I don't know what I want to do. I don't know who I want to become. I don't know what kind of career I want. I don't know any of those things. The reality is, until you do the thing that God made you to do, you're never going to have that feeling. And we want you to find that. But to do that, you can't be disconnected. You can't live a life of isolation and do effective ministry. Because you'll either die on the vine, separated from those who can give you life and encouragement, or you'll simply just run out of purpose because you'll never be in the place and the space that God designs you to be. But you also have to guard about being desensitized. You got to guard about being desensitized. Because, listen, until you and I develop a true passion and heart for people who are lost, the idea of ministry can seem incredibly foreign. Right? Listen, we are in this not because we want our seats to be filled. Because if we wanted our seats to be filled on all of our campuses, we'd do things a lot differently. Because the world is pretty clear about how to fill a seat. Right? We wouldn't have any trouble filling seats if we actually made that our goal. Our goal isn't to fill our seats. Right? Our goal is to see people far from God connected to Him through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen, church?
Amen.
We have to guard about being desensitized to that being our sole purpose. Listen, if we're not motivated by our love for people who don't know Jesus, ministry just seems like an option. Listen, you all know people who would honestly admit they have no interest in Jesus and no interest in faith. The Bible says, God says those people who are currently disconnected and disinterested, they're going to spend eternity separated from Him. The Bible describes that place of torment. That Bible describes that place of eternal separation. The Bible describes what it is. And here's the thing. If we believe that, and at some level we must because we've accepted Jesus, those people around you that don't know Jesus and have no interest in Jesus, that's their current plight. And at some level, if that isn't something that we're sensitive to and we've become desensitized to the whole concept, we're going to have a hard time being involved in ministry. Listen, I don't want us to try to sell you on the pragmatic benefit of ministry. I want to sell you on the absolute necessity of having an exit strategy. Because every person is going to leave this world. And we do funerals all the time. We talk to people in those spaces all the time. And here's what we know. They don't have an exit strategy. They didn't plan for this. As if death is a surprise to us. It comes at all ages and all stages. And for most people, they don't even consider it until they come to a funeral. But we need to consider it, church. We need to consider the reality that people have to exit this world. And the only promise of peace everlasting for eternity comes in knowing Jesus. And we are surrounded by tens of thousands of people. Hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people who don't know Jesus. And if we as a church have become desensitized to that, there is no shot we'll ever get in a ditch and bandage a wound. And so listen, If we're going to be a part of sharing the gospel, the thing that actually can transform a life and change somebody from somebody who's dead to somebody who's now alive spiritually, we have to be connected to the context of our communities. We can't live isolated lives that involve us driving from our house to church, church to house, house to church, church to house. That's a life that won't be effective. And we also have to, greatly guard our hearts about being desensitized to this. Right? This isn't, there's so much benefit to being a part of this community. But the heartbeat of our churches and all of our spaces has to be people who don't know Jesus are lost and separated from Him forever. We can't let that make us crazy. We can't let that make us weird. But it certainly should be something that motivates us to move forward with people. Paul uses a word there in 1 Thessalonians 2. He calls it affectionately desirous. He says, because we were affectionately desirous of you, he said, we were not only willing to share with you the gospel of God, but ourselves only. That word affectionately desirous, in the context that Paul wrote it, that word was used a couple ways back then. One of the ways was, it was an epitaph put on a tombstone or a headstone of a child who had passed away way too prematurely. It was the picture of a parent longing, affectionately desiring to just see their child's face one more time. Paul said, that's what motivated us to give you the gospel and to give you ourselves. We were so affectionately desirous of you. The other thing, the other way that word was used, it was used to describe a mother who met her child for the first time. After carrying a child for 9 months, and a mother's desire to meet that child for the first time by having it laid on her chest, skin to skin. That is exactly the word that Paul uses to describe that process. A mother who was so affectionately desirous of that first meeting of that child that they carried for 9 months. Here's what Paul said. That has to motivate the church. Because if we're not motivated by affectionately desiring to see people come to Jesus, we'd be better off spending our time at a ball game, we'd say. Or 4 hours at a golf course. Or sitting at a movie theater. Or just sitting at home. As opposed to raising money to travel around the globe and be gone for 7 to 10 days. Listen, ministry, effective ministry, requires that you give the gospel and that you give yourself. So, we need to guard against being disconnected. Being connected allows us to be in places and spaces that God can use us. We have to guard against being desensitized. This isn't a job, right? This isn't a social club where your membership requires you to do 1, 2, 3. This is a fight for your sons and your daughters' souls. For your grandsons and your granddaughters' souls, for your spouse's soul, for your boyfriend, your girlfriend's soul. This is a fight for your parents' soul, for your grandparents' soul. This is a fight for your friends and your neighbor's soul, because every person will exit this world at some point. And we want them prepared with the only exit plan that provides hope, and that's a relationship with Jesus. Man, we can't ever lose being sensitive to that reality for people. And here's the last thing we got to guard against. We got to guard against being a dope. Being a dope. Not doing dope or using dope, but we got to guard against being a dope. Okay? And here's what I mean by that. Here's what Paul says. Let me just read these verses to you in 1 Thessalonians 2. We're going to start at verse 4. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. Actually, you can just bring those verses right up there. Start at verse 3. Okay? This is what Paul says. It says, for the appeal we make does not spring from error and impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. He says, on the contrary, we speak as those approved, right? Those who've been tested and passed the test by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We're not trying to please people, but God who tests our hearts. He says, you know we never use flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. He said, we were not looking for the praise from people, not from you or anyone else, even though as apostles of Christ we could have asserted our authority. Instead, we were like young children among you, just as a nursing mother cares for her children. Listen, when I mean guard against being a dope, across all of our spaces. Here's what I mean. If you get into ministry, if you actually get into doing what God has called you to do, and many of you know what that is, feels like, there are going to be people who are going to pat you on the back, who are going to tell you how great you are. Right? When you step into the place and the space that God made for you, and you start giving the gospel, and you start giving of yourselves, people are going to want to make you the focus of their attention. They are going to tell you how great you are. They are going to pat you on the back. And here's the thing. You and I have got to guard against being a dope. We can't let that stuff be the thing that we ultimately want to receive. Because it happens. It happens in churches all the time. It happens in all of our spaces. And so if you're serving and you're doing the thing that God made you to do, you're going to be impressive. Listen, when you put the foot down on a Maserati and that thing does exactly what it's created to do, there's something about that that is very appealing, right? Listen, when you see things doing what they were made to do, it's an impressive feat, right? When I see the Bears football team doing what they're supposed to do, right? It's impressive, right? Listen, when a church and its individuals who make it up do the thing that God created them to do, people are going to be flattered. They're going to be impressed. And people like to give other people praise. And you may find yourself on the end of that. And you may find yourself struggling with how to process all of the flattery and all of the praise. And if you're a people pleaser, you've got to guard against this, because then it becomes an easy way for you to do things for the praise of people. Many, many pastors, many, many, many pastors and servants of Christ have made that same mistake and have found themselves falling hard in some kind of sinful behavior. The reality is, if you don't guard your heart in the process of doing the thing that God made you to do, and you're not careful about being a dope, you'll make ministry a way of people being impressed with you. And listen, just so you're aware, we try to watch out for that stuff. We try to watch you as you serve to try to help you in that area, because it's very easy for you to fall into that trap. And we want to make sure that you're guarded and protected in that process, because ministry, if you're not careful, can be about you reaping a praise of people instead of doing it for God. Listen, what kind of church is this? This is a church that believes in mobilizing people to do the thing that God created them to do. That's what we want, right? And we don't believe that any of you were designed to fill up suggestion boxes about how we should do services better. We just don't. Here's what we believe. We believe that God uniquely designed every one of you across all of our campuses to do something that He prepared a long time that you should do. It is the job of the leaders of a church to equip you to do that work. That's our job. That's what God has gifted us to do. And so we're going to do that across all of our campuses. We're going to make a concerted effort in 2019 and 2020 to get 100% participation, because we're losing the fight. Too many people that you know, not that I know, I don't need to tell you my stories. You know people right now who aren't ready, and you're worried about it and you're concerned about it. Here's the most effective way to make it work. You give them the gospel, because it's the power of God into salvation. But you make sure that it comes from you. And when you do that, guard yourself. Guard about living a life disconnected from that ditch where that person needs to be bandaged. Guard about being desensitized to the reality that this isn't a social club. We're involved in a fight for somebody's eternal destiny. And that needs to always be at the forefront of us. And you got to guard against being a dope. Don't do this so people will pat you on the back. Don't do this for the praise of men. Don't allow that trap to set in. And then we'll do this together. And we'll plow and we'll plant and we'll water as much as we possibly can. And we'll live out the mission of our church. And we'll exist to make it hard for people to go to hell from this generation. Amen, church? That's what we want, right? So here's how we're going to close this thing out. And we're all in agreement here at 9:30. We're going to stay until the bitter end. Amen, church? Right? And just as a reminder, this is the service where most visitors come. It's probably one that you might be most comfortable with. But We would love for you, some of you, moved by the Spirit of God, if not the preacher's voice, to find a different service to be a part of. Because 90% of our visiting families on the weekend choose this service to come to. We don't want them to feel it's too crowded to be comfortable in, and we don't want them to feel like the parking lot's too full to park in. So if you could find another service to help us accomplish that, we would love that church, okay? So here's how we're going to close this. All of our campuses, if you need to make a decision to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we want to help you with that process. To your left and my right at all of our campuses at the stages, there will be pastors up front after the service is over to answer all of those questions, whether you're here, DeLand, or Palm Bay. If you're online, there's a button that says Choose Jesus. Just click on that and someone will walk you through that process. If you're here and just need to be prayed for because you know ministry, you know the pitfalls, you know how to be, you need to be guarded. To my left and your right on all of our campuses, there will be people up there that will help you by praying with you and encouraging you in this journey. Listen, we are a church that believes in mobilizing its partners to do what God has called them to do. It will be our focus for the next year to start batting 100% at accomplishing that goal. So we become exactly what we say we are, a church that exists to make it hard for people to go to hell from this generation. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the chance to be a part of what it is that you've created us to do. And my guess is there's a bunch of people here that don't exactly know what that is. A bunch of people across all of our spaces that we've gathered in today that just don't know. And I pray that you'll help us as leaders of this church across every campus to equip our saints to do the work of ministry. But help us to not just equip them, but to also teach them how to guard against the pitfalls of ministry. Lord, we want nothing more than for people to find Jesus. And so I pray that you would help us accomplish that. I know that your Spirit is moved today. I know that your Spirit is moving today in the hearts and minds of people. My prayer today is that those who are being convicted will surrender and they'll allow themselves to be used in the way that you've created them to be used. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.